All right, our starting place today will be Hebrews chapter number 8, Hebrews chapter 8, and Hebrews chapter 10. We've got a lot of verses to look at this morning. Not a gigantic number like 40, but a goodly number of verses. Hebrews, and let's read starting at verse number 10. For this the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So anyone who believes that God is finished with Israel needs to revisit their Bible. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Future there. Verse number 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Chapter 10, Hebrews 10, verse number 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Heavenly Father, please help me this morning. Preach your word in spirit and in truth. Help us, God, to give heed to the words of this book, knowing they are indeed the very words of God, able to save our souls and change our lives. Help us, we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. There's concern in some circles about censorship. There's concern in some circles about banned books. There's concern in some circles that liberties and freedoms are being eroded. I'm concerned about something. I hear about shootings, I hear about mass killings, I hear about crime and violence, I hear about oppression. Something I haven't heard, I can't remember the last time I heard, was the word sin. Has someone banished the word sin from our culture? Has someone forbidden all of our news reporters from using the word sin? Has some agreement been made among the preachers of America that we won't say the word sin any longer? We don't have a gun problem, we have a sin problem. We don't have a crime problem, we have a sin problem. We don't have a marriage and family problem, we have a sin problem. And sin is the word that God uses for every act that violates His righteous commandments. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, now here's why it's important that we view things biblically. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you. Our cities are obviously lacking the blessing of God. Our rural towns and villages are obviously lacking the blessing of God. Our homes and our families seem to be in great want of the blessing of God, and yet no one seems to be willing to say God has hid His face from people because of their sin. And their sins and their iniquities have caused a separation between man and his God. We recently came out of a season that unlike all the other holidays in America, is not rooted in some ancient culture or some prehistoric festival of some form or another, but is rooted in the idea that once upon a time our nation paused what they were doing and looked at the bounty upon their tables and reminded themselves we ought to thank God for all this. But now it's turned into Turkey Day. And football day, and how much can you eat, and the day before the big shopping day, and there's a separation between God and man in our nation. There's a separation between God and man in our homes, and the Bible says what has caused that separation and that division is sin. Jeremiah 5:25 says, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. Could you imagine a mother and daughter walking through the inner city from their little apartment to the shopping complex with a purse full of cash and not a fear in their heart and not a worry in their mind, what turned our cities into such dangerous places? The Bible says it's sin. How is it that we have all this food, all this wealth, all this prosperity, and yet people are drowning in debt, and their conversations are continually one of complaint and unhappiness and sorrow and sadness and woe is me? All you got to do to run for office and win a campaign is just keep saying, you've got it so bad, you've got it so bad, you've got it so bad. And overfed and over-entertained Americans sit in their air-conditioned home with a remote control in their hand and listen to people tell them how bad they've got it. What's cost us the good blessings of God upon our lives? Sin, the Bible says. It's sin. But it's worse than that. Ezekiel 18 and verse number 20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now we know from Romans 6 and 23, the wages of sin is death, but God takes it beyond physical death. God takes it beyond breathing your last breath. God takes it beyond calling the undertaker and says your soul, your very soul, the eternal, everlasting part of you will die because of sin. What a sad thing. The school teachers talk about emotional problems. They don't talk about sin. The principal talks about underprivileged children. They don't talk about sin. The police officers talk about society gone awry. They don't talk about sin. The preacher talks about loving yourself and feeling good about yourself and having a positive view about yourself. The Bible says your soul is on the line. Your very soul is on the line, and the problem is sin. S-I-N. Sin. If God says do and you don't, it's sin. If God says don't and you do, it's sin. And we don't need another politician. We don't need another parent. We don't need another preacher saying there's some sort of undefinable, unimaginable darkness floating about, and we just can't put our finger on what's wrong. The politician can't describe it, and the economic people can't define it, and the social people can't define it, and the shrinks can't define it. And God spelled it right out in the Bible. The best-selling book in all the nation, but nobody's reading it. Number one bestseller for hundreds of years, and nobody wants to hear what it has to say. God said, I'm over here and you're over there, and what's keeping us apart is sin. God says there's a heaven up here and a hell down there, and what's going to keep you out of heaven and put you into hell is sin. Somebody ought to be talking about sin. Somebody ought to be concerned about sin. Now, listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, the gospel that was delivered by God to man so that men who know the gospel could tell the entire world is this: Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day, all of that in accord with the scripture. Now listen, before we get to the wonderful, marvelous, loving grace of God, do you understand that what put Jesus Christ on the cross was not a Roman government afraid of his political power? What put Jesus Christ on the cross was not Jewish religious leaders afraid of his power. What put Jesus Christ on the cross was man's sin. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was nailed to a cross to suffer and bleed and die, because that's how horrific and how horrible God viewed sin. That the only remedy for it was the death of his only begotten Son. I think we've spent too long making light of sin, making excuses for sin, calling it something other than what it is. Jesus Christ was crucified. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 4 that Jesus gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So thank the Lord. Sin is so terrible that Jesus Christ had to die for it. But God's love for our souls is so great that Jesus Christ did die for it. Yeah. Sin is such that it separates man from God. God's grace is such that he would have man brought back into fellowship with himself, brought back in a right relationship with himself, if only someone could deal with that issue of sin, and Jesus Christ dealt with it on the cross.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 2, He, Jesus Christ, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sin, but also for the sins of the whole world. What an amazing thing. Jesus Christ is God. Else he couldn't know the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ is God. Else he couldn't die for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ is God. Else we could not say to the whole world, someone has died for your sins. The payment has been made for your sins. So look at this. A holy God looks at man, says, you can't come near me. Why? You have sin and I am all holy. You have sin. I am all righteousness. But God in his grace said to the sinful mankind that couldn't come to God, I will come to you. Not to pal around, not to carouse, not to be buddies, not me put my arm around you and tell you everything's okay, don't worry about it. No, I will come to you and I will be nailed to a cross and shed my blood and die in payment. I will pay your penalty for sin so that you can come to me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This shouldn't be shocking at all. Every minister, when I was a boy, you'd go to any church in town, if the man wasn't wearing a robe, he was preaching this. That's a fact. Everybody used to preach this. God, man, sin in between. Man can't get to God because of sin. God came to man because of sin. And God, in the person of Jesus Christ, died for your sin so they could be removed and you could get to God through Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the good news. You say, well, I'm not a sinner. Then you can't get saved.
Right.
I don't believe what I do is a sin. Then you can't get saved. I don't think I'm all that bad. Then you can't get saved. You got to agree with God, you're a sinner.
Right.
If you agree with God, you're a sinner, you'll look for the one and only remedy there is for your sin, and it's Jesus Christ dying in your place.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You say, well, you don't know what I've done. Don't need to know. You don't need to tell me.
Yeah.
But God knows. Yeah. And God said the whole world, that includes you. Whatever you've done, sister, whatever you've done, brother, whatever you've thought, however you've acted upon that thought, Jesus Christ died for that sin. All sins for all men one time. And then rose from the dead. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10, herein is love, not that we love God, we didn't, but that he loved us. He did. And sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a big word. Here's what it means. You don't have the money to pay for your sins. You don't have the religion to pay for your sins. You don't have the time to live long enough to pay for your sins. There is nothing you could offer God that would satisfy a righteous, holy, clean, pure, just God and make him forgive you of your sins. So you know what he did? He gave you what you couldn't give him. An absolutely perfect, sinless sacrifice to die in your stead. Instead of you, Jesus Christ died. Instead of you trying to pay for your sin, Jesus Christ paid for your sin. And you can be reconciled to God because a payment has been made for your sins. No beads, no candles, no offerings, no sacrifices, no sacraments, no confessions, no baptisms. Nothing could take away your sin, or God would have said, do those things. But because none of those things could take away your sin, God sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. He hung on a cross. He shed his blood. He died bearing our sin in his body on the tree. Hallelujah. We don't go out into public places and say Baptist saves. We say Jesus saves. We don't knock on a door and say, can I tell you about our minister? We say, can I tell you about our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Amen. Save sinners. Listen, what your education's done for you has been very harmful. What your social media's done for you has been very harmful. What your kinfolk have done for you has been very harmful. What your religion has done for you has been very harmful. In their attempts to make you feel good about yourself, they have taught you to be offended by anyone who says you're a sinner. You got to get over that. Because until you see that you're a sinner, you're not going to get saved from your sins. God made a way. Hallelujah. Well, that's introduction. I want to talk about our verses. What happens when a holy God sees a sinful man, a sinful woman, put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing, I can't save myself, but I need a Savior. I believe Jesus is the Savior because I believe He died for my sin. I'm going to trust Him with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind. What does God do? Hebrews 8 said it. Hebrews 10 said it. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. God, I'm saying this on the authority of the Bible. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior nearly 50 years ago. A decade before some of you were born, I trusted Christ as my Savior. And if I went to God the next day or tomorrow and said, God, would you please take away my sin? He would not have any record to refer to. There's no charges left against me. There's no guilt remaining on my record. God, if God searched His memory banks, He has erased from His memory all trace of my sin. That's how completely satisfied He was with the payment His Son, Jesus Christ, made. I remember my sins. My wife remembers my sins. My children remember my sins. You remember my sins. Total strangers remember my sins. God Almighty says, I don't remember them anymore. I have no recollection whatsoever of those sins. That's what the Bible says. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, believe the book. If you believe the book, you'll believe it. That's what the book says. In Isaiah 51, and verse number 3, a man who had committed adultery. That's a terrible sin. It's not a mistake. It's not a fling. It's not an affair. It's not a wild weekend. It's a sin. Then murdered the husband of the woman with whom he committed adultery to try and cover his crime. That's a sin. And he said in Psalm 51:3, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Till the day that man died, he could not forget he'd been unfaithful to his wife. Till the day that man died, he could not forget that he had taken a man's life and brought shame upon the honor of the throne of the King of Israel. Shame upon the name of the God he represented as he sat upon that throne. David said, I could never forget it. That same man said in Psalm 103 verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. That's an amazing thing. God said in His word, Brother Steve Holt talked about this last week in the Sunday school hour. God said, if you start traveling from where you are east, if you go east, just follow your compass. Say, I'm gonna go east. Until the day you die, you'll still be going east. You'll never find west. You'll never find west. You just keep going round and round and round and round. You'll never get there. if God decided, you know what? I heard this man, he keeps coming to me and saying, my sin's ever before me, and I don't remember his sin, but I think I'll go look for it. If God himself started traveling east, he'd never find your sin because he put it in the west.
Amen.
God just search and search and search and search and search. And every time you came to God and said, God, I'm so sorry, I wish I hadn't done that. The Lord said, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, Lord, you know, it just keeps coming into my mind. It might come into yours, but it doesn't come into mine.
Amen.
Well, God, every time I close my eyes, I see it. And God said, well, you might see it. I don't see it. I don't see it. If I set out on an adventure to go look for your sin, I'd never catch up with it. It's gone.
Amen.
Amen.
That was a great story. Somebody talked about it a couple of weeks ago in the Sunday school hour. Sunday school is a good thing. Y'all come Sunday school. And about that scapegoat in the... And they put their hands on that scapegoat and pronounce all the sins of the children of Israel on it. And then a fit man would take it out into the wilderness and turn it loose. And you know what the Bible says happened to that goat? It doesn't. It doesn't tell you where it went. It doesn't tell you how long it was there. It doesn't tell you what paths it traveled. It doesn't tell you what hills it went over. It doesn't tell you what water hole it took a drink from. It's just gone. And there's not enough information in the Word. You can know where it started. You can know what happened to it. You can know where it was taken. But you can't know where it went. It's just gone. You know what that is? That's your sin. I know where it started. I know what happened at Calvary. I know what God did when I came to Him. He said and took it away. I know, but what happened after that? It's just gone. It's just gone. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible says in Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, verse number 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. How about that? Now, God Almighty measured the waters of these great seas, oceans, in the hollow of His hand. And there they are, the world over. Here's all these great bodies of water. And they say, there's so much of that ocean, nobody's ever seen it. Nobody's ever searched it out. Nobody's ever been there. You can go miles and miles and miles and miles down into the deep, deep, deep darkness of that undersea, underwater world. And you know what God said? Somewhere down there are the sins of the people who trusted Christ as their Savior. Now, who's going to go down there and get them? You couldn't find them. If you found them, you couldn't lay hold on them. If you laid hold of them, you couldn't bring them to the surface. They're gone. Bible says in Revelation 18, verse 21, a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone. Big, huge, giant thing that an ox go around, you know, and grind that mill out. And cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Come on now, Bible with Bible. Bible with Bible. Micah with Revelation. If God has something thrown into the depths of the sea, no one can find it. After the destructive, murderous, blasphemous iniquity of the great tribulation carried out by Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, if God took that whole horrible system that is going to wreak such death and destruction on the earth, if God took that and threw it in the very bottom of the deepest ocean, who would go look for it? Let's go dig that up again and see if we can have 7 more years of tribulation. Nobody's looking for it. You know what God said? Not only have I taken your sin and cast it in the deepest depths of the deepest sea, nobody's going to go look for it. It's gone. Forget about it. Praise God. Praise. Isn't that a blessing? Micah 7:19. In the depths of the deepest sea. Now, I want you to look at 2 verses together with me. Get Isaiah 38. Isaiah chapter 38. And when, I won't give you both. Find Isaiah 38, and then I'll give you the other one, because I'll give you a fighting chance here. Isaiah 38, and then James, James right after Hebrews, then James chapter number 1. Isaiah 38 and James chapter 1. This is really a blessing. Now watch this. Isaiah 38 and verse number 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast, watch this, in love to my soul, delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Amen. 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 Sins being taken away, being forgotten, that's really good. Sins being in the depths of the sea, that's really good. But how can behind God's back be better? How can, if God put my sin, your sin, and cast them, threw them, put them behind his back, how could that be better than in the depths of the sea, or better than the record being erased from his memory? Well, look at James chapter number 1. James chapter 1 and verse number 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Amen.
Now, picture in your mind the sundial. The sundial. Most of us are, well, again, all of us are, let me say it this way. None of us are old enough to have had someone say, go out in the yard and see what time it is. So here's a device, and it's squared up with the sun at the height of its zenith, noonday sun, right there. Now, at 1 minute past noon, that sun has moved enough on that dial to cast a little tiny shadow. An hour later, the shadow is longer. Hour later, 2 hours later, the shadow gets longer, longer, longer. But when that sundial is straight up with that sun at its height, it doesn't cast a shadow this way. It doesn't cast a shadow that way. When does it start to cast a shadow? Turning, turning, turning. Something turns and it moves and it makes a shadow. You know what God said?
Yeah.
Not 1 degree. I do not move 1 degree.
Amen.
I don't turn this much. I don't turn this much. I don't turn, not 1 degree do I ever move. If your sins are behind my back, I will never ever possibly see them because I don't look that way. Praise the Lord. Now, if I put your sins over there, you know what I'd be tempted to do? You know what happens? You know what happens in the home, in the church, in our friendships. Hey, remember you did that? You know what God said? If you come to me, trust in Jesus Christ, I will take all of your sins, I will put them behind my back, and you can count on it. I'll never see them again because I don't turn.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, how'd all that happen? Colossians chapter 2, let's go there. Colossians chapter number 2. So, preacher, I don't like being called a sinner. Well, do you like having someone take away your sins? God said, Hebrews 10:17, their sins and iniquities I remember no more. God said, Psalm 103, verse 12, so far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Bible says in Micah 7:19, thou wilt cast all their sins in the depths of the sea. The Bible says in Isaiah 38:17, thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. That makes me feel really good this morning.
Amen.
You call me a sinner, but God has taken my sins away.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 14 says this, start at verse number 13, and you, Colossians 2:13, and you, being dead in your sins, now such as your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Praise the Lord. Let me show you something here. This is only one page. you'd have to have something about the size of Encyclopedia Britannica. Anybody remember encyclopedias? Oh, so cool. You'd go to a friend's house, they had an encyclopedia. You could do every book report ever get. Anyway. These are the sins that I've committed against God. That's what the Bible says. This is my record. I'm guilty. I'm guilty before God. The Bible says the Lord took all the charges against me. And when Jesus put his hand right there on that cross, and a man took a nail and a hammer, just before they nailed Jesus' hand to the cross, God the Father slipped all my sins right under that hand. They were nailed with him to that cross. His blood flowed down and covered the charges that were against me. And today, when should someone enter the courtroom of heaven and say, I want you to find him guilty, check his record. If God pulled out the page with my name on the top, all he would see would be the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, which cleanseth us from all sin. There's nothing left there but Jesus' blood. How could God remember my sins when they're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ? How could God charge me with guilt when it's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ? How could God dredge up something and hold it against me again? It's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, the best thing anybody could ever tell you is that God says you're a sinner. And the best thing anybody could ever do for you is to show you what happens to you because of your sin. And the best thing you could ever do is agree with the Word of God and say, I am a sinner. I am in trouble. Because then and only then can I say to you, in love to your soul, Jesus Christ came into this world and went to a cross and died for your sins so that they could all be forgiven and your soul wouldn't have to die. Say, preacher, isn't that the best news in the world? Only if you agree that you're a sinner. Because if you don't agree you're a sinner, you're not going to get that good news. You'll reject it. You'll refuse it. You'll miss out on it. Here's great news. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Believe it. Confess it. Admit to it. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, if you'll receive what God says about you, then you can receive what God says about His Son, and you and God can get everything fixed up through Jesus Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, preacher, you're pretty self-righteous. I'm the least self-righteous person you'll ever meet. I have no righteousness. I'm a sinner. The Bible describes me sin, iniquity, transgression, trespass. It's not good. Then God offered me a way to be forgiven. Amen. Not by my works, but by what Jesus Christ did for me at the cross. Amen. And I believed that gospel, and I trusted that Savior, and this is what I can tell you this morning. My sins have been forgotten by God. Amen. My sins are as far removed as the east from the west. That is, you can't find them. My sins have been cast into the depths of the sea. My sins have been thrown behind God's back and He never turns. And my sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me sum it up in one simple phrase. I'm saved. Amen. If you'd like to be saved, you can be, but only if you're a sinner. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Stop arguing with God. Admit you're a sinner. And come to the Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. So how does that work? Oh, it's so simple. It's so simple. If I told this modern generation we had a movie star or a football star here today waiting in my office, and you said, what do? Just stand at the door. I'll introduce you to the movie star. I'll introduce you to the singer. People would line up out to the street. They wouldn't say, what do I have to do? They'd just get in line. You want to meet Jesus? You want to meet the Savior of your soul? How come people don't line up out the street for that? They don't believe they're sinners. If you believe you're a sinner, we're going to sing a song. And while we sing, if you'll come right down here, someone will introduce you to the Savior, Jesus Christ. He's a real person, just like a movie star is a real, person. Just like a ball player is a real person. And someone can introduce you to a hero. Somebody can introduce you to a Savior. You want to be saved, Jesus can save you today.
Amen.
Today. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for telling us the truth about ourselves, for revealing to us the truth of your great love for us. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who came to suffer and bleed and die that our sins might be gone. Lord, if there's someone here today, man, woman, boy, girl, that's never trusted Christ as Savior, I pray, Father, in these next few minutes, you'd move upon their heart. They would come. Let us introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.